If you have your Bible and you would like to turn and to look at some scripture, I want to go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to get out of the world today. I've been down in it for 430 years. Time for me to get out of the world, isn't it? If you'd stand with me, please, we'll read a few verses. Verse 29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, blessed poor fellow, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, for there was not one dead. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go," and I like this, "serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, "We be all dead men." And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. They borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and remnant. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt. For it was not leavened, because there they were thrust out of Egypt. They could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day that it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is a night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof." Our Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for allowing us to look back some 2,000 or 4,000 years and see how you, Lord, delivered your children. Now we're looking, Lord, on the other side, and we're looking for that day that we will be delivered as well. Lord, but in the meantime, we pray you'd give us a message here this morning that would be helpful to us. Lord, nothing that we probably haven't heard before, but something to just to, again, to strengthen our faith, keep us looking unto you and trusting you. Our Father, we surely realize that we need you more today, probably than we even understand. May you guide and direct us and be with us and hover over us and protect us. And we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I had a verse that just spoke to my heart. In verse 22 of chapter 12, it said, "And none of you shall go out of the door of this house until the morning." Just a thought on, I can't go out. I can't get out. But that's not what I'm going to preach on. But I got to thinking about that verse, though. Here they are in the house. God to Moses said, you go in the house and you stay. And I came by and I said, well, hey, would you come out to play? Oh, can't come out. Can't come out. Got to stay in the house tonight. Got to stay in the house. Yeah, big dealings are going on that. I'm locked up. I thought about the guy down in hell. He can't get out. Hey, would you come out? No, can't get out. Now, let me say to you, if you're here without Christ, that's where you're going to be in a place you can't get out. I've been in a place where have you ever been where you couldn't get out? Have you ever been in a place where that you were locked in and you couldn't get out? I never will forget the boy back at home. We always playing tricks on one another. We had a little corn crib there by the house. And I was over in the corn crib doing something there one day. My first cousin, we had the buttons on the doors. And he put the button down and locked the door on me. And I'm in prison in a corn crib. You ever been in a corn crib? It's not a whole lot going on in there. A few mice there once in a while. But what I'm saying is, it's a terrible feeling not to be able to get out. But I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes on forsaking the familiar. Israel has been down in Egypt for 430 years. They came down with Joseph, went down, sold into slavery, and he arose to prominence, and he brought his family down to Egypt. Jacob and his brothers, and they begin to prosper, and later they come under the dictatorship of Pharaoh, a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. He did not know the family. Years have gone by. Years have come and gone, and new generations have, old ones have passed away, new ones have come on the scene, and the young ones do not know the history of the Jews down in Egypt, or where they come from, or whatever. I find this a whole lot true in with Baptists today. Baptists don't know a whole lot where they came from. Most of the time, they kind of have to be able to know where they're going. They don't know what Baptists stand for. They don't know how come that we are Baptists and we're not something else. We have a tremendous heritage. We have a tremendous history of how that God delivered the group of people that held to the Word of God. They held to the right doctrine and did not compromise. They did not let the world get in, and they were persecuted. Israel here has been now, they've come under hardship. And could I say to you today that we are somewhat looking at even our own country today and our own situation. And today you look around, a lot of people can't be here today because of things that is going on in our world today. In our country today, we've been locked in. If some people got their wishes, we would be in the house today. But here, the people that you can't get out because there's something going on tonight. And tonight, you're going to find that you're going to put some blood over the door. And tonight, the destroyer is going to come by. And if that blood is not over the door, you're in for trouble. And can I say to you that here the world does not know that they're in for trouble? Could I not say to you today that we have the blood over our door? And can I not say to you, we were waiting for the Passover. The Passover was instituted by Moses to the under the instructions and the direction of the Lord. And today, this is still an observance of the Jews, the Passover. From generation to generation, all the way down, you to observe this and to remind you of what God has done. He has delivered you out from under slavery, and he has delivered you into a country that is going to be milk and honey. Or could I say to you the parallel that we have today as children of God, and God in teaching us to hear that one day that we also have a Passover. one day our Savior is going to send forth the message and to come out. Now, could I say to you, the Egyptians knew what was going to take place. They did not have to let their first child die. You find that Moses told them that what was going to happen. But they didn't take no heed. Can I say to you, the world today, we have been preaching that, and we've been telling, hey, get ready, get prepared, for the day is coming. An unfamiliar journey is about to face the Egyptians or the Israelites, and they're getting ready to take a journey. It's unfamiliar to them. They've never been on this journey before. And into that, you find that God's preparation for the journey. You find onto that the judgment of the firstborn in verse 12. The chapter begins the history of the children of Israel as a nation. They did not really recognize that they were going to be a nation that is going to be the center of the world. Even here today, you look at the history of that Jew and how that when he was under the will of God and he was serving God, how God blessed him. They became a powerful nation military. They became a powerful nation economically. God blessed that nation, people. They left out with over about a million and a half of people, or 2 billion. And into that, you find that has they grew and they went into the land. And you find that God protected, God watching over them. You find that on this here, you find that God dealt with them about the lamb. He's prophesying in the future about another lamb. And he said, take the lamb, and it's going to be without spot or blemish. You remember old John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God. Unto that, to talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you take that lamb, and it's got to be without blemish. And you put it up, and then you're going to kill it, and you're going to take the blood. Boy, I tell you what, you think here that lamb sometimes to slaughter the lamb and to catch the blood, and we got to have the blood because we got to put it over the lintels of the door into that, because if that blood is not there, you're going to lose your first one. Could I say to you today, we have a bloody religion. Could I say to you today that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin? Could I say to you today that you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Could I say to you that God gave the best that he had? He gave the Lamb without spot or blemish to go to that cross at Calvary. We'll get to that, baby. But I say on this journey, here you find that this picture is a picture of Jesus. Into that. And you find on this journey, people will learn to worship God. They're going to find that as they take this unfamiliar journey and as they begin to go through to the land that God has set forth, they encounter a lot of different things that they've never encountered. Could I say to you, as a child of God this morning, you're going to encounter things that you've never encountered? You're going to encounter some things that you're not going to understand? It's going to be an unfamiliar journey. I'm on an unfamiliar journey in my life today as a child of God, looking forward to that day when I come to the end of it. But this journey here, you find that the children of Israel, they got acquainted with the Lamb. That the importance of that lamb, it had to be without the spot or blemish. It had to be take that lamb and have to put the blood upon the door. Now, you take today, we are trying to get to heaven without the blood. We're trying to get to heaven without the sacrificial lamb today. We're trying to get to heaven because we're good people. We're trying to get to heaven today because it doesn't matter what God you serve, so what they tell you, as long as you believe in a divinity. Could I say to you that is not true? Could I say to you that there is only one God? Yeah. Could I say to you that there's only one Savior? Yeah. Could I say to you today that there's only one that went to the cross and gave his life to die for you and died this morning and to shed his precious blood? Yeah. There's only one that went down into the grave and triumphed over death and rose again from the dead and is alive today? No other religion can give you that. The lamb became very important, and you ought to get acquainted with your lamb this morning. You ought to get acquainted with the lamb that God sent into the world, as we would talk about in the next month of the virgin birth of Christ, God sending forth his only begotten son. They got acquainted with the blood. With the blood. And could I say to you today, if you're a child of God today, you ought to be able to realize and to understand that blood had to be applied. Could you understand today that God accepted the blood of his son that was shed at Calvary? Could you remember to go back and to look every once in a while and to look at Calvary and see what took place, see what the suffering, see what had went through from our Savior to die for you and I today? Could it mean sometimes that it ought to be that I think much more of my Savior when I see what he did in shedding of his blood? It ought to be meant to that blood. Can I say to you today, have you accepted that blood atonement? Have you accepted that blood as a payment for your sins today? That blood that Jesus shed at Calvary and took into the Holy of Holies and to sprinkle upon the mercy seat, and the blood that God accepted as a payment for the sin of mankind? Can I say to you today, do you know him? We get all caught up in the world. We get caught up in a virus that is a plague. Hey, can I say to you that Israel went through a lot of plagues? Can I say to you today that they nothing that we have experienced that they haven't gone through? Can I say to you how the armies marched through to Jerusalem and brought them into captivity? Can I say to you how that they were carried into slavery back into Babylon? Can I say to you how that they would have survived that, how that they went down and came in, and how they survived and scattered throughout the world, but how that God survived them through a Holocaust in Germany, and how that the 6 million of them lost their lives there? Can I say to you how God, how in 1948 gathered them back into the as a nation again, back into their mother tongue again? Can I say to you to keep your eye upon that Jew today? Can I say, you better be praying for them today, because they're under hot water right now. Anything could erupt over there in that little country today. The Iranians are awful, awful upset with the little nation of Israel and the United States. If you think they love us, if you think that they care about us, you got another thought coming. Can I say to you this they have already threatened retaliation upon because of one of their scientists being executed. They're blaming Israel and the United States for it. They may have, I don't know. But I'm saying this, you're right on the powder keg. We got so many diversions going on, from a virus to an election, that we get off track of what is going on around the world that's more important than a virus. And so I say to you today that this journey, the people will learn to worship God, and they will learn to obey God. When they obey God, they prosper. Could I say to you today, as a child of God, when you obey God, God's going to take care of you. When you get out and you turn your back on God, you go ahead and backslide, you go ahead and do your thing, you're going to come under the chastening of God. And so I say to you, they learn to obey God. If you're a child of God this morning, if you have not learned to obey God, you better get to learning that. It's more peaceful and joyful to walk in fellowship with God and to have the protection of God upon your life and to know that regardless of what you encounter, he's with you. They got acquainted in obeying God and entering into a covenant with God. And they accepted their identity as God's chosen people. I don't like to brag, but I'm able to do it. I like to brag that I'm a child of God. Some of you wouldn't say that out among some of your friends, would you? Some of you not real proud of that, are you? Some of you had rather that somebody didn't know, especially when you maybe getting involved in something you got no business involved in. We talked about separation this morning in Baptist churches that no longer talk about separation. When you got saved, God saved you out of the world. And you came unto God's direction. And there's a separation there that God expects you to be withdrawn from the world. You're not to look like the world. You're not to go where the world goes. You're to be a child of God that is recognizable that, hey, there's something different about that person. And that Jew, recognized all around the world, he's hated. There's still today those that would like to destroy that Jew. I thank God I'm on their side. I thank God. God said, I'll bless them, it blesses you. If you want to get a blessing, get on the Jew's side. Don't be anti-Semitic. Thank God that they're lost. They're a country today that needs a Savior. And they're going through a time right now that they have no place to worship. They have no temple. They have no sacrificial lamb. Yet they have rejected the lamb that God prepared for them. He came unto his own, and his own rejected him. One day in the future, this journey that they're on, one day it will end up with them seeing the Messiah that God promised them. One day they will be able to accept him and to see by the scars in his hand and scars in his side and to know that this is the one that God gave us. The sad thing, so many today go out into eternity with no hope. They'll learn some things. And God is preparing us for an incredible journey. Just mention another group of people that took an unfamiliar journey 400 years ago next month. 102 people got into a boat to head for a country to where that they could worship God freely. Where they could get away from all the negative stuff that their children was going to be subjected to. They was on a little boat called the Mayflower. They came across the ocean and landed at Plymouth Rock. They came simply because they wanted to be able to have a country. As Israel never thought when they left Egypt that they were going to be the country that they are today. That little group of people, they came and set up a colony and began to worship God. They never knew that they were the beginning of one of the greatest nations upon the earth and establishing America. We have much to thank them for, not knowing their humble beginning would grow the world's greatest and most powerful nation. They wanted to honor God. They wanted to be able to freely worship and to declare above all the gospel. Why do we ought to make much about getting the gospel to the world? Our forefathers, the ones that came to set up and to establish our country. You're not going to hear the liberals talk about this. Right. They're not going to give credit to these people that came to establish a country that could freely worship God. They were under the authority of the king. They didn't have the freedom to do some things and to worship God. God, you will find, will not send his people into the journey empty-handed. I thought about God preparing the Israelites. Here's what you're going to need. You're going to have to leave in a hurry. You're going to need some things, and you're going to need some jewelry. You're going to need some gold. You're going to need some unleavened bread. You're going to need some things to take care of your family. Get it together. God always prepares. Could I say to you today that God has not allowed us to take our journey today empty-handed? God has given to you and I instructions. He's given us a map. He's given us the Bible, his word, how to live by. God has given to us also the Holy Spirit of God to dwell with us. And to be spirit-led is one of the greatest assets that you could have. It's not how great your bank account is or what you own. You can own the world and not be led by the Holy Spirit of God and die and go to hell and have nothing. But oh, my soul, been willing to give up the riches of the world to be able to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and to enjoy knowing that God has directed my journey, and one day this journey will come to fulfillment. Not only that, God has given us a church. God established the church with his disciples. And he gave orders to the church. Oh, I don't know why people today don't love the Lord's church. I don't understand why that you don't want to be identified in as a member of God's church. The church set up to give you a place to come. Where would you be today if you didn't have here? Come to fellowship and enjoy one another. Some of you could improve a little bit, though. Some of you could get a little better looking. Little Richard Jimmy, I'm talking to you on that. But good, a place to come and to enjoy together to worship God. Nothing is more fulfilling to a child of God that's been born again and has been walking in the Spirit. He wants that fellowship. He needs that fellowship. And he wants to be able to minister to one another. And that's why that we try to be able to come, because you have a gift that God has given you to be able to minister to another person. It's exciting to be a Christian today. It's not all gloom and it's joy. It's peace. It's excitement. To be able to have brothers and sisters in Christ that be able to love one another and to be able to march forward in this journey that is sometimes unfamiliar to us, that we haven't grown to sometimes to where that we know what where the journey is leading us. Some of you, it is unfamiliar. And so could I say to us today, God's presence and leading. God has not left us alone to take unfamiliar territory. He is with us wherever we go. The Passover lamb became a celebration throughout Israel's history. Christ, our lamb, his death and resurrection is our celebration of God's perfect completion of God's deliverance from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, the unfamiliar and frightening moments of life's journey are being used by God to fulfill the plans and the purposes of God. What about your journey? Has it become familiar with you yet? I wrote down, I don't have time to go through it. My journey. My journey began at 25 years old in a little Baptist church in Dayton, Ohio. Unfamiliar. I did not know what was going to take place. I just know that I was a sinner headed for hell and believed that Jesus died for me. Amen. I didn't know all of the ramifications of that life. I didn't know about obedience. I didn't know about the Bible. I never owned the Bible. I didn't know a thing about church. Never been to church. All I knew was that there was a load lifted off of me, right, and that there was a peace that came in. And that something took place and my thinking changed. Yes, and I wanted to be a blessing to God. Down through the years, I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to do some things that God's called me to do. But I want to be obedient. And my journey has become familiar now. I know where I'm going. I know what's at the end of the journey now. And I know that it will be worth it all. I sang a little song this morning, James. You probably don't know it. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, I plead. Do you desire that this morning? Just pull up closer to him. As Lord, you're leading me. I'm in unfamiliar territory. But I want to get familiar with this journey that I'm on. For one day, it'll be fulfilled. Let's stand, please.